Ed and Rizan Ferrelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Now we're going to talk about a topic I know a lot of you will be interested in. When you hear that your little baby has a food allergy, it can be a very scary time for parents. So we asked Dr. Maeve Kelleher and clinical nurse specialist Mairead Sheehan to come in and to give us the facts on the topic. Ladies, you're very welcome to the show.
Thank you. And thanks for having us.
Oh, it's great to have you. It's great to have you. Okay, Dr. Kelleher, let's start with you. Can we talk about language? And why is it so important to get the language right when we talk about food allergies?
Fantastic. So I might actually give this question to Mairead because goes through this part with parents when they come into our clinic.
No, this is really important for us. And, you know, at CHI, which is where we work, it's a key goal when we're supporting and educating families with children with food allergy is to encourage the use of positive, empowering language when discussing food allergy. And this is really important around children, especially. You know, the words they hear when other adults are discussing food allergy, or, you know, even from kind of unregulated sites like social media and stuff, can often be frightening and very negative. Mm-hmm. And it becomes the story in their little minds as they grow up. So we really encourage families to have a kind of almost like a rule in the home that when they're discussing it, the content and the tone is very positive. And this may lessen the impact of negative language around it. And it's often due to people not understanding it as well. Now, I think it's really important that we express it. We don't believe this alters the risk of food allergy. And we know the risk is there. But living, you know, with positive language around it can be more harmonious for families. And I think that's really important. It's something we all need to strive for a little bit.
So for those who don't go and see you, or for the likes of myself, and I have a friend who has a child with an allergy, how do I be more positive?
So to become positive and to be able to speak about it positively, you really need a lot of support. And this is where stuff like this is really important. Yeah. So you need exposure to evidence-based information. You need good education and you need a supportive team, you know, and supportive kind of wider community. And we would never expect families to be able to talk about it positively unless they have that support network around them. And I think that comes from exposure to good medical services, you know, to good teams, and then a really accessible information, be it through websites or
and
whatever, that's evidence-based. We are starting it, you know, and this is why it's a real key goal for us, because we know families that are maybe 10 years down the journey that haven't had exposure to good evidence are often really anxious about food allergy. And yes, there is risk, and we're not, you know, that's a huge part of it, and managing that risk is a huge part of it. But also that language that everyday people use around food allergy, we believe, needs to be shifted a little bit more positively.
Okay, interesting. Yeah. It's something we're learning about all the time.
Yeah, exactly, and we're too.
How common are food allergies, and has that increased in recent years?
Yeah. So if it's okay, before we talk about how common it is, I'm just going to briefly mean what we mean about allergy, because lots of things are labelled as allergy these days. So for us, our immune systems are built so that we recognise a bug. And if we come across that bug, our immune systems activate to protect us from getting sick. So then allergy is when your immune system reacts to something normal in the environment, like a food or dust, and it over-responds to it. And that type of allergy is what we'll be mainly talking about today. Mm-hmm. And that's called immediate or IgE-mediated allergy.
Okay.
And that type of allergy, so it definitely is more common in the last 20 years. And I suppose we're also more aware of it, which is good.
Okay.
So how common it is in Ireland, we did a study in Cork about 8 years ago now, and we studied about 2,000 babies and we followed them all up to see how much they have. So about one in every 20 children aged 2 in Ireland will have an immediate type allergy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm. So it's a lot.
There is a lot.
5-6%.
It is a lot.
Yeah.
How do parents get children diagnosed? What's the role to that?
So the first step, like everything, is I suppose having a bit of awareness about what it might be. And the first step is your GP, like always, you know.
Okay.
Like GPs are like, you know, I suppose in a way it's easy for us. We can be very specialised about a very small topic. GPs know bees need know lots about different things.
Yeah.
And the first thing to do would be to make an appointment with your GP and chat to the GP and say, I suppose commonly what would happen, like the most common food allergy is egg. So if your baby around 7 or 8 months, you give them egg and they might come out in, you know, some hives or a puffy lip or puffy eye, or they might vomit. And then what you do then, I suppose, depends on maybe the type of reaction, your experience or what's available. Some people might go to A&E or some people might go down to the GP, and then the GP will listen, ask questions and refer them to, it may not be us in CHI because we're kind of in Dublin, but there's other allergy centres around Ireland as well where they can be referred on.
Interesting, you said egg. I would have thought it was would have been peanuts.
Yeah, exactly. Most people think that peanut is the most common food allergy. I suppose what is different between egg and peanut is that for children who are diagnosed with egg allergy, 8 out of 10 of them will grow out of an egg allergy eventually.
Good to know.
Exactly. Whereas in if you have a peanut or another type of nut allergy, only 2 out of 10 will grow out of it. So the rest of them will always have that allergy as part of their life.
Everyone has an opinion on allergies, don't they?
Yeah, so
what are the common myths that you'd like to bust or, you know, put straight here today?
Jen, this is such an important topic, you know, and it's one of the key things that we want to have more exposure to evidence base because it's what people should hear, especially at the start of your journey with food allergy. So often parents will have high information needs at the beginning of this journey. As you know, you've got this little infant, you're seeing this repeated, as Dr. Kelleher says, you know, these symptoms and signs when you try to wean them onto a particular food. And then you're maybe waiting then to access care to get a full evaluation of that. So you will reach out and look for information. And often we know that that information is not often evidence-based because there's not often gatekeepers where you access information, which is, you know, media sites and stuff like that. That is lots of opinions, but not necessarily
fact.
Evidence. Yeah, fact. So that can form the story in your head very quickly, what it is. And as I said already, the language is often frightening. So it's often what we see when parents come into us that we kind of de-escalate that and we discuss the myths and misconceptions. But last year, I did a study as part of my MSc, and I looked at what parents believe before they come into our clinic in relation to myths and lots of other stuff as well. But they overwhelmingly believe the top 10 myths. And this is forming their information source about food allergy. And they're really frightening. So often the parents will believe, and the general public will believe it, because that's where they're getting the information from, that, say, for example, each reaction is worse than the last one. That's really commonly believed. That allergy tests will predict how severe your allergy is or how severe you'll respond to the allergen. And we know that's not true. And often as well, and a really common one, is that nut allergies are airborne. So we hear that over and over and over again.
Mm.
And these, and even like, you know, adrenaline is dangerous and anaphylaxis or severe allergic reactions are often fatal. So if you're living with that knowledge and you've nothing to counteract it, we know from the study it actually has a really negative impact on maternal anxiety and quality of life. And actually getting the correct information really eases that burden. So it's really information that it's really important that information is out there for parents. Now, there's lots of other ones as well, but they're the ones that, you know, really jolt people, you know. And
in Mairead's study, I was able to show that just providing parents with like these myth busters improve their quality of life in the space of 2 weeks, you know.
Because they need the information. They want it. You know,
said
and they
anxiety
want it
three times now. Do you see it a lot with parents coming in?
Yeah. Huge. I mean, it's well studied, you know. A lot of anxiety around food allergies, fear of allergic reactions and fear of anaphylaxis and fear of not feeling the self-confidence that you can recognise and treat an allergic reaction appropriately. And also not being feeling that you can't, maybe you feel you don't have the confidence to share that information with the other adults in your child's life. So it's also the parents' responsibility to educate schools and to educate childminders and granny and you know, and this circle of, you know, this all these adults and people in the child's life need to know what the child's allergic to, how do we prevent accidental allergic reactions, and if they happen, which they do, because that's life, you know, you can't prevent 100% prevent an allergic reaction. What do I do when it happens? You know, and that's a key part of what you get when you access good services. You know, when they come into us, we have it all laid out for them, and we want that out there before they come into us. So we've made a lot of videos and stuff to try and help families. And I suppose, assist GPs and primary care practitioners in giving the correct evidence, the same message over and over again. You've got this, you know, and we know the fact that you can really well manage allergic reactions, but you need that information.
And what about the HSE website? How is that on this topic? lacking in
a little bit, but I suppose what we
deter information, the common question.
Yeah, I suppose, I mean, for the HSE, this is a small amount of, like, a small thing in their site.
Yeah.
But we are trying, I suppose, our team in CHI, we're getting bigger. We have the CHI website has started up now, so there's definitely our videos managing allergic reactions, and we have them up in different languages, and it's on now. It's obviously it's a site in progress, but it's definitely we're getting all of our information up there. So it is tinyurl.com/CHI allergy. That might be a bit quick in my Cork accent, but hopefully we'll be able to put it up somewhere for you.
I'll do that.
And even just going to allergy on the CHI website, the Cumbrum one as well.
Yeah.
You know, you'll find our page, you'll find our videos. We have a really good one we made. It was only made, you know, it's funny how things create, because it was made to support wards and ED in Crumlin, you know, originally. But it's become such a tool for GPs, for parents to teach grandparents, for schools. And it's just how to manage your child's allergic reaction. It's a really simple 4-minute video of the key messages. You've got this. Do not be afraid to treat it. And this is the steps you take to do it. And, you know, we know when families get that education and they get exposure to that, they exhale. You know, they go, you're right, I've got this. So let's change the language. Let's start your journey feeling empowered with the right information, the tools to treat a reaction, which is adrenaline pens, absolute gold standard if you're having a severe response. Understand that the event, an accidental ingestion, is going to lead to signs and symptoms. And it's an event that starts and ends, and how a child travels through it and the symptoms they show you and the signs is going to dictate what treatment they need. And they're often mild, and antihistamine and a bit of rest is enough, and they're out the other side of it in a couple of hours. But sometimes on the day that's in it, somebody's system goes, I can't do allergy today. I need adrenaline to get me through it. And that's okay, because if it's prescribed for your child, you have it, you know, and
you
use it.
You have it, yeah, absolutely. You know. Dr. Gallagher, people might have heard about the pill or a pill to treat peanut allergy. Mm. What's the story with that?
Yeah, so there is a new treatment that has been licensed in the EU for peanut allergy, and it's just specifically for peanut allergy. So like, if your child is allergic to lots of other nuts, it only works for one nut, for peanut. So basically it is taking tiny amounts of peanut alongside, you know, still avoiding peanut and still carrying your adrenaline pens. And it is a product that works for some people who are on it. The issue with it is it has enormous, resources for both the parents and the families who need it. So it is something that we, you know, may well come to Ireland in the future. But I suppose what we would really like to get across today is that we don't want parents just to be holding out for a cure, you know, like, or holding out for the allergy to be gone, because we would wish their allergies would be gone as well. But we're all about trying to living well with allergies,
living harmoniously alongside
it, and I suppose I try to, the kids who come into clinic, I'm trying to reassure them that allergy is one part of their life, like, one part of all the different parts that make them different, and we're just, I suppose for us it's about that the parents and the child know what their allergies are by getting the appropriate education and the appropriate diagnosis, and then knowing how to manage their allergies, and then, being with us throughout this, journey, because things change, they have different questions when they're smaller, compared to like adolescents or teenagehood as well,
Well, I'm going to give the website again, because I have written down in front of me. It's tinyurl.com/CHI allergy. Yeah. But if people just Google CHI allergy, they get to you guys and get the correct information. And that will empower you to lead a happy, healthy life, a harmonious life. You said it there. Dr. Maeve Kelleher, I'm a Rachian. Thank you so much for coming into the studio today. We'll have you in any time.
Great.
Give us a bell.
Jennifer Zaffarelli.
Weekday morning from 9
on 2FM.